Message to you. My scripture reading is in Psalms. It's the 121st chapter of Psalms. I will lift up my eyes to the mountain, from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed holy Sabbath day. We thank you for each one that's made their decision to be in your house of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you set the example for us at the very beginning by resting the seventh day. And Heavenly Father, we know that you sanctified and set apart that day as holy so that we would have a constant and often reminder of you and your creation, your creative works. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of peace and rest. And Heavenly Father, bless the words that we speak and let them accomplish that you would have in our hearts and lives. And in the name of your Son, we ask these things. And amen. And my text is in James. It's the 8th verse of James 4. So let's look at it. James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Obviously, from those words, God wants us to be near him at all times. Obviously, he wants communication with us, and he wants it often. And I would say he wants it sincerely. The Bible opens and closes with God and humans enjoying perfect harmony and fellowship with each other. Humans begin their existence in a garden with God. And the Bible closes in Revelation 22 with the redeemed in the city of God, where the river of life flows and the tree of life bears its fruit. Imagine that. A closeness with God that is beyond any kind of words that we can use. A closeness with God. Fellowship with God. Perfect harmony with God. And in the end, as one person said, I've already read the last chapter of the book, and it ends good. It has a good ending. And it has an ending with us, with our Creator God, and in those circumstances that he sets forth at that time. You know, at that particular place, God is spoken of as being the temple. Has no need of a temple because God is the temple there. And can you imagine that river flowing through the city and the trees which bear the fruit and us being able to enjoy that peace and harmony? You know, people are always at their best and they're happiest when they are close to God. God has always been eager for people to enjoy His divine blessings. You know, all through the Bible, God lets us know that He sets forth blessings, and that's what He wants you to have. You could just about stop right there, because that's what He wants for you. He wants blessings. But you know, it just doesn't come without something on your side of it. God expects and wants obedience. And He wants sincerity. And He wants dedication to His Word, to His law, to His way of life for human. When people refuse to believe in and to live for the Lord, they destroy themselves and they bring harm into their lives as well as the lives of others. Good question for each one of us. Just exactly how close do you want to get to God? You know, maybe some of us have never even thought of that or asked ourselves that question. Just how close do I want to get to God? Just exactly how much truth can I stand? Can I obey? Can I react to? How often do you communicate with God? How often does He come to your mind? How often do you go to hear to Him in sincere prayer? How often do you find yourself trying to get still so that you can even hear His voice tugging at your heart? A lot of times you have to get still. You have to free yourself from the clutter of the day. Sometimes you just, as Jesus Christ, have to go off by yourself. Perhaps in your closet, perhaps anywhere, in your car, and get alone to where you can be still and know that God wants to communicate with you. He has something to say to you. Some people don't want to get so close to God because they think God's going to want something. God's going to want me to do something. And I don't know that I'm want to do it. You know, God is a loving God. He has blessings beyond our imaginations. But He wants us to love Him in the right way. He wants us to react to Him. He wants us to love Him to the point that we are more than happy to do whatever He asks, to be of service to Him in whatever He has for us to be service in. Is God your source of delight and inspiration? Or do you consider God as a disturber, a restrainer, an irritant? Hopefully not, because God don't want us to be like that. He wants us to be as close to the image of Him in every respect as we can. What do you want God to be? His Word lets us know how He is. We should want to be like Him. He made us in His image. The only thing of His creation, His highest creation, was humankind. Because it's the only thing that he made in his image, like him. But we need to react to him. We need to draw close to him. And my message to you today is entitled, Living Near to God. James would encourage us to trust in the loving grace of God and to abide always in the center of his loving will and to act on our faith. You know, a lot of ministers, they want to skip the book of James. Have you ever noticed that? How few of ministers, particularly modern day people, TV evangelists, they don't talk too awfully much about James, because James is one of the few writers in the New Testament that emphasizes that you need to have faith, but it needs to be an active faith. There's something for you to do. And a lot of ministers will want to skip over that. Not to think that you're supposed to do something. But James lets us know that faith without works is dead. Not going to accomplish much of anything. Living close to God. Living near to God. Brings rich rewards. And what is some of those rewards? It brings the highest possibility of happiness. Let's go to Psalms 16 and 11 to see in the regard of how living close to God brings happiness. Psalms 16 and 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Do you see how much joy and happiness that there is in living close to God? Also, rich rewards in the conquest of fear. Fear seems to be so dominant in all people's lives, and perhaps particularly in these times with the world upheavals, the nature upheavals, the economic upheavals. Fear is prevalent today, and I would say growing. But when you draw near to God and you are living near to God, then you can count on rich rewards in dealing with the element of fear in your life. Let's go to Psalms 23 and 4. Psalms 23 and 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The psalmist was saying, it's great to have you near to me. I can count on your blessing. I can count on your presence. The psalmist was greatly encouraged in times of crisis by an awareness of the nearness of God. The comfort to which he refers is the courage that one needs for living a life under difficult circumstances. And we know that King David had many times, many circumstances that he was under pressure. And we know of his love for God, of his desire to be in the presence of God, his desire to be in the house of God. He expresses it many times. And that is why God lets us know that David was a man after his own heart. David's heart was close to God and stayed that way. Rich rewards in spiritual energy. The source of spiritual vitality is to be found in daily fellowship with God. We need to put forth the effort necessary to draw near to the God who is seeking continually to draw near to us. I've expressed many times that if you could picture God, or you could picture Jesus wherever he is, it would be as though he always had his arms outstretched toward you. Therefore, when you stray away, when you come short of what God would have for you to be or do, you can always know that as one of God's children, he is always standing there with his arms already outstretched toward you, making sure that initiative is there always. He wants you back. He wants you to come to your senses. Return to him. Always picture God that way. He sent his son Jesus that he might die the death that he died, so that we would always be able to ask forgiveness of our sins and shortcomings, and always be able to be, to know that we can ask forgiveness of him, and that we will, as a result of that sincere asking of forgiveness of our shortcomings and failures, always know that we will be returned in good standing to him. James wrote to those who were living at a distance from God. In the first part of James, it tells you who James is writing that book to. It says, to the 12 scattered tribes. They were scattered all over this earth by God. Why? Because of their disobedience. Because of their failures and shortcomings. They were constantly doing what God told them not to do. Having false gods. Having pagan gods. So you see why the 12 tribes had been scattered. They were taken into captivity. The same reason, because of their disobedience. God expects and wants obedience. He wants sincerity. He wants dedication. He wants the love of him to be in our hearts and evidenced by what we do and say, how we live, how we react, the things that we don't do and don't say. All of those things are a result of us drawing close to God. And in essence, we are becoming more like God when we do those things. James wrote to these 12 tribes who were at a distance. They were living under the control of their passions and desires for pleasures. If there ever was a day that people were living under their own selfish will and their own many, many pleasures, if there ever was a day that that was going on, it is today. Let's go to James 4, 1 and 2. James, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, and you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Back then, James said to these scattered tribes, you're living away from God because of what you're doing. They were totally self-centered even when they prayed. Let's see what verse 3 says. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. There it comes back again. Your pleasures. What you want to do. Selfish living. Not living as Jesus came to live, to be a servant of all those that he came in contact with, to help, to heal. That's what Jesus came to this earth for. And that's what he did. And that's what he wants us to do. To serve. They were completely compatible with the world, which is in rebellion against God. In verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, now listen to this. This could be frightening to some people. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you see where we should be concerned? That's a important statement. Whosoever wishes to make himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do we have things in our lives that might come into this condition? They had grown proud and were indifferent toward God. It's one thing God hates. You ought to always remember it. God hates proud people. A prideful look. Proud type actions. Verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Evidently, they were also rebellious against God. I'd say that's a dangerous thing, to be rebellious against the one who created you. Let's see what verse 7 says. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that a good promise there? Resist. When you know that things are coming against you and you feel like the devil is behind it all, and you know when those times are and some of those types of circumstances, they don't just happen. Satan wishes all the ones he can. He wants, and he's willing to do about anything to get you. And we're talking about you not being a child of God any longer. We're talking about you being a child of the devil. He wants you, and he's going to do about whatever he can to get you. But what are you to do? Resist. Stand firm. Stay committed. Be sincere. Know that you're one of God's children, You're in His hand. He cares for you. He's not going to let the devil or anything or anyone else have you if you're one of His children. He's your Father. He's going to do just like your father would do for you. The best father for His son. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, besides remembering from today's message that you have that promise, resist the devil, and he will get away from you. Call on God's name for that promise. Remind God of that promise. I want some relief. I want some peace. Get him out. Get him away. He will do it. Besides remembering that, how about draw near to God? And he will draw near to you. That's two great promises right there. Resist the devil, and he's going to get out. Want the love of God in you. Draw close to God. And he will draw close to you. Have you perhaps drifted away from God without even being aware of it? A poet wrote, "It is easy to drift with the current swift. Just lie in your boat and dream. But in nature's plan, it takes a real man to paddle the boat upstream." God expects us to love Him enough to say no to those things that come our way, that tempt us to do wrong things and to say wrong things. God promises that He will not let anything come to us. No temptation shall come to you that you are not able, will not be able to resist. That is a good promise. Say it to yourself at the right moment. Could it be that we have drifted away from God as far as those whom James wrote these words to? It is possible that our greatest need is that of drawing close to God. But do you really want to live close to God? Do you really want to live close to God? Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." He is a rewarder. He's going to bless you if you want Him, if you have Him, if you love Him and He loves you, if you're in His family. He's going to reward you, and He's going to bless you, and He's going to keep you, and He's going to see that Satan doesn't harm you, that he doesn't have you. "Believe that the living Lord who conquered death draws near with purposes of love." Let's go to Luke 24 and 15. Luke 24 and 15. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are those words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and to all people." Jesus draws near with purposes of love. Confess and forsake all known sin in your life if you want to live close to God. Let's go to 1 John 1 and 8. 1 John 1 and 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We have to confess all known sin and shortcomings in our life. And these words lets us know that He is faithful and just to forgive all of that. And we then are restored to Him in good standing. Fully follow the known will of God in your life. God has a gift for each one of us. The gift is many and varied according to the faith that we have and the way that we let God send His Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to develop that faith and the gifts that He has for us. We need to recognize and follow the known will of God in our life. And lastly, we need to respond positively to the inward leading of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a gift of God. It's freely available. We need to want it. We need to ask God for it. We need to seek for it. It's not a one-time experience. God wants us to have His Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives working as actively and openly as possible each day of our life. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 18. Ephesians 5 and 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." The living Lord comes again and again, and He stands at the door of our heart, seeking entrance into our hearts and minds and our lives. He has drawn and wants to draw nearer to us. And let's want to open our hearts and lives to Him evermore. If you would, stand with me. And let's read what I call the blessing of God to each one of us. And this blessing of God is also known as Aaron's blessing. And it's in Numbers 6 and 24. And let's read this together right now. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Isn't that wonderful?